Welcome to another episode of Bitches Love Sports. I'm Bitch 2.
I'm Bitch 1.
And we kind of have show notes a little bit, but I was just listening to one of my favorite Dallas Cowboys media shows, Hanging with the Boys, and they did an episode with no show notes either. So I don't feel so bad knowing that, like, they're paid professionals out here doing this and they end up in the same position that we're in, of course, with like better cameras and mics and a larger audience. But still, actually, that's even the reason why they should have show notes. I feel like if we got paid for this,
and
we had like a studio to go into,
we would have a script.
yes, we would have guests every week. The production would be so bomb.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel like we'd be like hair and makeup done every week.
Oh yeah, I wouldn't be looking like this, y'all. If we were to record and like get paid for it, I wouldn't be looking like I just got to work.
Yeah, I'm like, if I can do this with like my job and derby and all this other shit going on, like if somebody was like, no, this is your job, I'm like, oh, work?
Yeah.
Oh, you about to see some cool shit.
Yes.
Oh, just you wait. Get ready for some new sponsors who will be knocking down your door.
I'll be like dyeing my hair again and like getting like crazy haircuts again, getting new glasses. Probably even doing my makeup.
Right?
No wearing like work clothes from a company that I work for. I might tell them to sponsor them. Like, yo, I wear this shirt almost every podcast. You'll want to like share a few bucks or something, you know, get us like, a couple of good mics.
They're like, you can wear something else if you want. Yeah.
They probably would. We got replayed, you bitch.
So, the episode with my mindset coach, it went well. As of the time of this recording, it has still not been released.
I was gonna say,
part of it didn't get recorded, so I've had to like do some finagling with it just to make it. But it's like the part that did get recorded was good. The part that didn't get recorded, it like tied directly back to stuff that we talked about before, and so that was like that was like my main disappointment, because we had that conversation about motivation versus discipline, because I wanted to get his opinion on it. Uh-huh. I kind of figured our opinions would kind of align, because my opinion on it has come from being like him being my mindset coach for like years. So it's like one of those situations where it's like, if I get this wrong,
this is a test.
Yeah. But it was a good conversation. We ended up talking about just like team culture. You know, how the roles that leaders should play, whether you're a star player or a coach, the role that you should play in establishing a culture of accountability and like why that's important. Yeah. So really, really good conversation.
That sounds interesting.
And so that's part of the reason why we don't have show notes, because I was like, well, I got to piece this together and make it make sense. So it's almost done.
It's going to come out, y'all. It's going to come out.
Yeah, it's going to come out before this episode comes out. So by the time you hear this, you will have seen that episode, assuming that you keep track. So, yeah.
And if not, go back and listen to it.
Right now, I'm just treating this podcast like Snowpiercer. Just keep it going. As long as it doesn't stop, we're fine.
Right.
Or like, have you seen that movie Speed from back in the day?
I don't think so.
It was like there was a bomb on this bus, and it would kind of be a joke now, but it was basically like if the bus slowed down to below 55 miles per hour, the bomb was going to go off.
Oh, it's like Crank. It's like,
was Keanu Reeves in that movie?
I don't know.
I think he was. But yeah, so it's like if the bus slowed down to below 55 miles per hour, the bomb would go off.
Yeah.
So it's like they just have to find a way to like keep moving. But it's like, you know, you got traffic and stoplights and all this other stuff.
You need to get gas.
Yeah. Like I remember seeing it a few times. Shit was crazy. But yeah, that's kind of how I am right now.
Look at it. But that sounds like Crank too. Have you watched Crank?
No. Movie?
I think it's Crank. It's Jason Statham? Mm-hmm. Statham? Whatever. The British dude, Jimmy, he's really hot. Anyways, I always had a crush on him. But anyways, he gets like kidnapped or whatever, and they put like a bomb inside of him.
I remember
and he
that.
Has to get adrenaline running at all times, otherwise he dies.
I like Jason Statham because like all his movies are similar. It's a really fun drinking game to play. Like it's like you get on teams.
If a car explodes.
you get on Teams and you pull up a Jason Statham highlight and the other team has to guess which movie it's from. So it's like you freeze frame it and they gotta like figure out which movie it's from. Because all his movies are the same. He dressed the same. They're all action movies.
Yeah.
So it's like all you see is Jason Statham dressed in black and explosions and you're like,
in a suit.
Shit. What movie is this? It's a fun game. It's a fun game.
I'm gonna play it. I used to have like almost all his movies in DVD. That's how big of a nerd of him I was.
I wouldn't even know if I had all of his movies. That might be a fun thing to do. Right now I'm watching all the Avengers movies and then I need to catch up on a lot of anime. But after that, it might be fun to like run through the Jason Statham catalog.
Flynn was just watching the League of Justice? Is that what
Justice
it's called?
League?
Justice League.
Yeah.
Same thing.
That's DC.
Yeah. It's a 4-hour movie.
Oh, he was watching the director's cut? Or the uncut? Or
yeah, the whole thing. And it's pretty much like Endgame and the other one put together. It's almost the same concept.
Oh,
but instead of stones, it's boxes.
Yeah.
It's pretty much the same. What would you think it would win? Because I had, sorry, this is not sports, but I mean, whatever. What would you think it would win? Avengers or Justice League?
Avengers.
100%, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Flint, when you listen to this, we will go back to this conversation. That's it.
Avengers easy. I mean, like, look at the Avengers rich guy versus DC's rich guy. Like,
my point
Bruce
exactly.
Wayne made Batman cool. Iron Man, though.
Hey. You didn't fucking wear Iron Man. Yeah. And then they have a god, right? Because Aquaman is a god, no?
Aquaman isn't a god.
I think Aquaman is a god.
And then we have Thor.
Yeah, Thor is a much stronger god.
Thank you.
And they have Loki, who's also technically at least godlike. I think Loki might be some kind of god.
Yeah, but Loki is in the Avengers. Loki is
He's
like,
not an Avenger, but he's in Marvel.
Well,
he's
Marvel.
Kind of
okay.
Like an anti-hero.
Well, then, yeah.
He like pops
yeah.
up and does
yeah.
beneficial shit
yeah.
sometimes.
Yeah. I don't know.
Definitely started off.
He
with
says
that villain.
Superman.
He killed a lot of people.
Flynn says that Superman would pretty much beat everybody because he's strong as fuck. He can fly. He has like laser eyes, and he can see through stuff.
Yeah, until Tony Stark traps him in a kryptonite box.
I'm just saying. We have this argument quite often, actually.
Anyway.
End of Kit Kat.
We're going to talk about sports today. Bitches love sports and other shit, too. Bitches also love superheroes and anime and Jason Statham, apparently. And gin and tonic. You know what else bitches love? Roller derby. Yeah. And this episode is brought to you by Violet Crown Roller Derby. We on some new shit.
Based in ATX, if you were wondering.
All right. Now let's get into sports. So Tom Brady retired. Did you hear about that?
I did.
I heard about it, and then I heard about it again. And then I heard about it again. And then he actually retired.
Oh, you heard about it before he actually retired.
Yeah, all that shit that happened over, like, that one weekend when they were like, oh, Tom Brady retired. And then people were like, he actually never said he retired. And then...
Oh, well, I just assumed. I mean, and like, I don't know if we've talked about it, but I know I've talked about it with Flint for sure. Like, this is going to be his last season. He's going to retire. So it was already like in a conversation. So anyways, I'm not surprised.
Me either. I mean, it's all good. I would have liked to see him get 8 rings, but you know.
7 is a good amount. I like odd numbers more than even, so good for you for sticking with a 7.
Getting 7 is hard. Like,
no fucking
from
shit.
What I hear, getting 1 is hard. But here's what annoyed me about the whole thing. Like, the whole time when people were like, did he really retire? Did he not? Is he going to retire? Like, people kept bringing his wife into the conversation. And I'm like, leave that woman alone.
Yeah.
Like,
she's put up with a lot, okay?
Yes.
20 some years. So.
There was just so much speculation about, like, well, you know, she's pressuring him to leave. And I'm like, she is not, has she put this out as a statement? Like, I know there have been past interviews where it's been mentioned, but like, I don't know. That just kind of annoyed me a little bit that they couldn't just keep the conversation about him and his career and his decision. They had to keep bringing into like all this speculation about Giselle. And I'm just like, yeah.
Leave her alone.
Leave her alone. Talk about Tom Brady. You know,
yes. She does not play sports, okay? So keep her out of it.
So yeah, I still need to finish watching Man in the Arena.
Me too. I need to finish it.
But thanks, Tom, for an inspiring career. There was a lot made about the fact that he didn't mention the Patriots in his retirement statement. But I think that's a that might just be the media trying to brew tea that isn't there.
Yeah, like we all know. I'm pretty sure he knows too. He played for the Patriots for a long time.
He put out a huge ass statement whenever he first left the Patriots. So yeah, like I didn't have an issue with it.
Me neither. I don't have any.
Like I'm trying to think if there's anything interesting to say about Tom Brady even leaving the Patriots.
Like, yeah, but like honestly, like any athlete or any person that retires or does whatever, like they don't really have to give you any, not an excuse. Any what is it? What is the word I'm looking for? Any reason, like they're just retired, they retire. They don't have to for your, you know, own amusement. They just retire.
Yeah. And I mean, he's got plenty of other reasons to like not want to spend so much time playing football. He's got like a whole brand he's building, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But speaking of the NFL, got a big game coming up this weekend. Rams.
Who are you going for?
Bengals. Rams. We've talked about this.
Yeah, we've talked about this.
Gotta see OBJ get a ring.
I know. You know, I'm torn a little bit because I do want him to, I want to see him win. But the Bengals have never won before.
Yeah, but Joe Burrow, this is like his first full career as a quarterback. He's got time.
Okay. What if he leaves the Bengals?
Huh?
What if he leaves the Bengals?
Joe Burrow?
Yeah.
I would hope he wouldn't leave the Bengals after all this, this whole Ohio, this is for you, and just making himself the man and just like just positioning himself as like this rising star of the Bengals franchise and then just being like, you know what? I'm actually, yeah. No, I don't see that happening.
You don't think so?
I think he'll be with them long enough to get the Bengals a ring. I think he'll be fine. Because, like, honestly, that's the only reason why I would want the Bengals to win. Because of Joe Burrow. Because of him coming from LSU. And the fact that I kind of like his style, honestly. I like the kid.
I do, too.
I like the sunglasses. I like the cigars. I like the way that he talks shit. I like the kid. He's a good player, too.
I just want
to see OBJ get a ring before he does. That's all.
Okay. That's fair. That's the first statement. That is the first statement. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe I'm biased too because I saw this video of this old ass man. Old, wrinkled and like, you know, anyways, it's not the point. The point is that he was really happy that his team made it to the Super Bowl. He really wants the Bengals to win because it's his team. And, you know, it was a little sad and emotional and not been emotional. So I just want the Bengals to win, I think.
Okay. Well, there's some old ass men who want the Rams to win, I'm sure.
If oh, I'm sure. I just didn't see that video. That didn't come up on my feed.
Okay, so Rams PR, you know, get on it. We need some videos. We need of the some emotional part.
We need some old ass men crying because his team made it to the Super Bowl. He just wants his team to win one.
I don't know where
dies.
These takes are coming from, y'all.
Oh man, I'm sorry. Anyways, that's it.
Yeah. Bengals. See, normally I would have like a whole analysis of who should win based on what, and I would have stats and shit. And I'm just like.
No, OBJ. My stats are OBJ.
This is like some OG bitches love sports shit. Like, I've got nothing. This is before I had a podcast, how I would talk about sports. Like, I know I've heard the stats. I watch sports talk shows, but I'm just like, nothing's coming to me except for 9 sacks, which is what happened to Joe Burrow against the Titans.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of Joe Burrow scrambling out of the pocket, and I'm wondering how he's going to do against the Rams defense. But I don't know. At the end of the day, I think
they have a great kicker, and I'm just happy for that.
And the Bengals?
Yes. He scored most of the points in the first game of playoffs. I'm still shocked by that, you know, because Greg made us lose so many games. Greg, I don't know, man. I don't know. I hope you go somewhere else or, I don't know, maybe retire too. don't know. Talk to Tom. See what, how he did
we weren't
it.
Even like, talking about the Cowboys.
I know.
It's like, I need to take this moment to make sure everybody knows I am so done with Greg Zuerlein. We're talking about the Super Bowl. And it's like,
yeah.
Zuerlein. Gotta go. Gotta go. Maybe he will follow the Cowboys special teams coach to Green Bay.
To Green Bay? Look, I would be so happy if that
were. For a second, I was like, we lost a special teams coach? And then I was like, oh, it's a special teams coach. Yeah. He can go.
Take Greg with you.
But you know who else the Cowboys are losing? Their PR person. Who's been there for like 33 years, I think. Rich Dalrymple.
I mean, I don't know much about him, but that's a long career too, bro.
I was having a conversation with somebody. It might have actually been yesterday. And he had made a comment. It's a regular listener of the show too. But he had made a comment about how it wasn't a good idea for the NFL to put a team in Vegas because it's too easy for players to get in trouble, you know? And I was like, easier than anywhere else, you know? And he's like, there's just a lot going on there. And I'm just like, Dallas, Houston, New Orleans, LA,
Miami.
Right. I'm like, there's a lot of opportunities, but it's like, you know,
the Patriots had a killer in their team, right? Like
one of the reasons why you don't hear about it as much on some other teams is because of the strength of their PR. When I was listening to Hanging with the Boys talk about Rich Dalrymple leaving, one of the hosts of that show actually referenced that a few times when he was a player, he had to call Rich and be like, you know, such and such just happened. I'm in jail, you know, yada, yada, yada. So it's like, I think when we think of PR, you know, we think of, you know, just, you know, putting out statements from the brand.
Yeah.
So people connect.
That's what I was thinking.
What
this
guy did for the Cowboys, like literally was like putting out fires, making sure certain things didn't become too big. Keeping things from getting to the media, you know?
Okay. Well, could have seen.
I mean, imagine working PR and having to deal with Jerry Jones.
No.
And telling him what, like, when he's gone too far with a statement. Or having to deal, like, with all these guys, like, you know, how we always talk about, like, yeah, these football players are very young guys who are, you know, getting that kind of money for the first time and the trouble they get into and having to deal with that year in, year out, not just during the season, but in the off season too.
Oh, you're right. You know? They're still a person.
Imagine all the connections you must have and all the responsibilities you must have and all the secrets you probably have, you know, like,
I mean,
I'm just like, what kind of person could even take over that role? He's been in that job for 33 years. Like, how do you even step into that role and feel adequate?
I know. Is it going to be like a transition period? Is it going to teach the new person?
I have no idea. I would hope so.
I would too.
You can't just... I would hope there's some kind of plan in place.
Can you
can't just be like, okay, now you're PR over the Dallas Cowboys. Well, so, I mean, Jerry Jones does this thing every Friday. You're going to want to... You want me to do what now? You want me to tell Jerry Jones what?
You want me to actually talk to Jerry Jones? He might even put his son out there as a PR. Do you think he's capable of doing that?
Capable? Hell yeah.
Well,
there's not much I wouldn't put past Jerry.
That's a fair statement.
Like, if that did happen, I'd be like,
It wouldn't be surprising. I'll give you that. It wouldn't be surprising.
I feel like there are very few things that Jerry Jones could do that would surprise me. Like when I texted you last week and I was like, I realized that like I am Jerry Jones. That was like a scary moment for me.
I stood past it because I read it on my watch and I just lost it. And Blue was like, what the fuck? I'm like, Liv just said she's Jerry Jones.
But it's like he's like me if I had the benefits of white male privilege and money.
Right.
Like,
yes.
I would be fucking ruthless. So that's why when I think about some of the things I would do if I literally didn't have a reason to care about anything but my team and my money. Because, like, right now, I care about
you people. Would have so friends. Many teams, though.
I probably would have more than
you,
one.
Yes. You would just...
I don't think I would have so many, though. Because, I would probably want to optimize. So I'd probably... Like, me being who I am, I'd probably also have some sort of women's team, whether it's WNBA or soccer, or even if I did decide to take some of my wealth and, like, let's make roller derby a thing. But that would probably be my second thing. And that would probably be...
Like, yeah, but like, I also think that you would have multiple, and then you would, like, delegate some and then some responsibilities, and then
I'm
be like
every delegation girl.
When you get
and
to
so
that
was
point,
Jerry Jones. And I understand why.
Maybe I'm talking for myself. Maybe that's what I would do. I would just like.
I think what you're saying is a good idea. Yeah. But I'm
because then you can still manage all of them. You have like you know like meetings every day or every week or whatever with like you know.
Yeah, delegation requires trust. That's hard.
Yes.
You can only have as many roles to delegate as people you feel like you can trust at a given time.
I'll be your right hand.
I know you would be, so that's one. You would be my rich dollar.
Yo, S thing, listen. This happened. What do we do? And I'd be like, bitch, let's fucking... And I would lose it too.
So yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with that. But and that was actually something else I ended up talking about on the episode with my mindset coach was when Jerry Jones said, you know, I'm very impatient when it comes to getting what I want. Because it's like, I had the thought before that like, he and I have some things in common. Because I read this book a while back called The Laws of Human Nature.
Mm-hmm.
And the author of the book, his name is Robert Greene. He wrote 48 Laws of Power. He co-authored 50 Laws of Power with 50 Cent. He's written so many books just about the nature of people, our tendencies. Like, he studies human beings, like, on a deeper level than I do.
Yeah.
Which is and isn't saying a lot. Like, I love the study of humans, but he's made a career out of it, you know? But he was talking about how he's an aggressive person. And he was like, you know... He was explaining that he didn't really think of himself as an aggressive person because when we use the word aggressive, a lot of times people think of someone who's like violent or hostile or who wants to fight all the time or cuss people out all the time and stuff like that, right? Mm-hmm. But when he used the phrase aggressive, saying that he was an aggressive person, he was talking about how he approaches like things that he wants. Like he's not... shy about it. He's not like, oh, I'm scared, or you know,
he's a fighter.
Like,
he just goes.
It's like, oh, I want that thing. I'm going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, I'm not asking.
Yeah,
you know. And I was like, I can relate to that, and I see a lot of that in Jerry, and so that's why, even though like sometimes he'll say some stuff that I'm just like, he shouldn't have said that, but at the same time, I'm also thinking like, I probably would have done the same. Now, I would say one difference is that, like, if I really did want a Super Bowl, like a Super Bowl championship, I would set up my team accordingly. So, like, some of the criticism that Jerry Jones gets is that he hires coaches who won't, like, push back against his system as opposed to hiring the best coach for the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that's probably one of the big differences between me and him is that, like, I think I would prioritize that win because I'm also competitive.
Yeah.
And I'd be like,
but you look out for the team.
I don't need to have the most profitable sports franchise in the world. I just need to be very profitable and also win.
Right.
And so I'd be like, who's going to help me win? Like, if it were me, Sean Payton would have never left. He would have been with the Cowboys forever. Like, because that's 100%, my priority.
100%.
But when it comes to, like, tendencies and being able to see that tendency, like, oh, Jerry values money. Jerry values having a certain amount of media attention. Jerry values getting a certain amount of, like recognition and credit for what happens within the team and then understanding that and putting that in the context of the decisions that he makes. I'm like, yeah, I see it. Everything makes total sense. Don't like everything, but it makes sense.
I just think he gives all of that more importance than he does the team. Like, he doesn't care. Yes. He doesn't care about the winning as much as he probably should.
I mean, it depends on your definition of should. So based on our values,
right?
Like, yeah. But I think there's a good possibility that when Jerry says money versus winning,
he's gonna pick money.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. So the only reason I don't use the word should, because it implies that there's some sort of moral value to wanting money over winning. And I don't think there is. Now, if he's not being honest with people about that, that's an issue. And by people, I literally mean the people on his team.
Yeah.
Because if there are people who, let's say, qualify for free agency and they want to stay with the Cowboys because they think the Cowboys can win, but the person who's making all the decisions has, you know, has a greater interest in making money than in winning, that's something that a person might want to know before they decide if they stay or go. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that would probably be my biggest issue with it. But if everybody's being honest with everybody and Jerry is like, yeah, no, money's more important, and that just is what it is. Okay. From listening to Jerry talk, I think he is looking for a way to do both.
Yeah.
He wants all the money and he also wants to find a way to win.
Yeah.
And I think that's why he made the statement he made about, like, you know, being frustrated that there are things that I'm assuming it was the coaching staff who told him that there were things that were being worked on in the offseason that should have been worked on since the beginning of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that to me says, okay, he does care about winning on some level.
Oh yeah. No, I mean, he does.
And I'm even with that, I wonder if it has to do with the, I'm assuming that among owners, there is some sense of competition and there are social ramifications, I'm sure, for being a loser and making dumb decisions.
I don't think he's a loser. Hold on.
I know he's not, but it's just like, let's say me, you, and 30 other women were the richest women in sports and owned teams, you know, we would probably see each other at social functions, especially when the playoffs come around, you know, we don't see each other.
Yeah.
So yeah, if your team does some dumb shit, some of these other women, you know, in our league are going to say something about it.
I mean, I would assume, because I know I would, if your team were due to do some dumb shit.
I'm saying, like, I don't think it's like a,
but the competitive level is different when you're the owner than when you're a player.
I don't think it is.
You don't think so? You don't think the players want to win more than the actual owner?
No.
You don't think.
I think the dynamic is different, but I think I have a feeling those owners talk shit to each other and players do too. And even though owners aren't on the field, they take pride in the decisions that they make and they aim to make better decisions than the other guys. That's how they compete. It's still all games to them. It's still games. It's still competition.
Yeah.
It's just different. They're making competitions via like listen to Jerry talk about keeping his coaches and why he didn't say certain things in public. He's like, because it's competitive out there. That's what he kept saying. It's not that he does want to keep his coaches, especially the ones that he thinks are good. But it's not that he just wants to keep his coaches because he loves them. But it's like he doesn't want somebody else to get them. It's competition.
Yeah.
Like that shit matters, you know?
I mean, yeah, I know. I don't know. I guess because I'm not the biggest fan of Jerry. So I have like a hard time seeing him as a caring person, I guess.
You don't have to look at him as a caring person, but he is a competitor.
As a caring person that does not only care about money.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? I have a hard time seeing him as that. Like, I don't think he cares much. He doesn't care about winning as much as, I don't know, Dak, Zeke, CD do.
I would bet that there are people on the Cowboys roster who don't care about,
they just want to play,
winning as much as Jerry Jones does.
You think so?
Yeah. Because it's like a priority stack.
I guess I'm just comparing myself to them. Because if I were to be in like the highest level, you know, like if I were to be a fucking NFL player, I'd be like fucking beating everybody up.
Yeah, but you do that now.
That's what I'm saying. So right. I have a hard time.
I'm just saying that's who you are anyway.
Yes.
With or without a huge ass salary, that's who you are. And that's the case with a lot of players, that they either have it in them to really want to win. As a matter of fact, on Hanging with the Boys, they were saying that about Micah Parsons. They were talking about how competitive he is.
Yeah.
Because, like, he, Pro Bowl weekend, this past weekend, there was a race where he beat Tyreek Hill, among others. And so now the debate is, well, was Tyreek Hill actually taking the race seriously? And a lot of people are saying, no, they don't believe Micah would have beat him if he were taking it seriously. But Jesse Holly, our friend, was making the point that Micah is a very competitive person, and yeah. he's more competitive than pretty much anybody.
Yeah, he is.
You know, so he it's is. Like there's levels to it, yeah. you know?
I know. I don't know. I just kept thinking what I would do, and I don't know how to get out of that mind frame, you know? Like, why do you do this way when you could have done it whatever, you know, and like win or I don't know. Because I would have done it this way. Maybe we would have won.
And competition takes on different forms. I even think Jerry Jones is making money. Like, there's competition to that. I think there's part of him that likes to be able to clap back with, like, you know, when people are like, yeah, you know, my team is going to the Super Bowl, but we still making more money than you.
Right, right. And Jerry be like, but did you make this amount, though? Because I did.
It's like, and we sold more merch than you, and our players are on vacation early, so.
Yeah. And they healthy.
Mm-mm. Probably like, my team already getting ready for next season, yeah. and we still getting this money. Get out of my inbox.
Yeah.
No, probably not. Because I really do think that Jerry wants to win. I do think he wants to see this team get another Super Bowl.
Then why doesn't he put the, what is his name? In the ring. What is it? Ah, my brain. The coach that he deserves to be in the, what is it?
Ah. The coach? Oh, Jimmy Johnson?
Thank you.
Because they got beef.
But if you really wanted to win...
Okay, first of all, I promise you, Jerry Jones does not believe in the curse of Jimmy Johnson. Jerry Jones does not believe in that shit. You would have to bring him documented evidence for him to actually squash that. I'm going to put it to you this way. Violet Crown, right?
Uh-huh.
Let's say we don't do well.
Okay.
And if somebody was like, if you don't squash beef with you know who, the team gonna keep struggling. Now, you tell me if you think I wouldn't just keep trying to make the team better first. Be like, bitch, you crazy. Get the hell out of my face. Right?
Yes.
Right? That's where Jerry is. Like, it's like from the outside looking in, we can look at it and be like, yeah, the team is cursed. It might be worth it to just put Jimmy Johnson in the Ring of Honor. Mm-hmm. I guarantee you, Jerry Jones is like, fuck all that.
That's fair. That is a fair analogy. Because I know I wouldn't either.
Yeah.
Now, fuck this shit. What the fuck you mean? We won't win anyways.
Right. Now, on that note, what do you think about all the coaches coming back? McCarthy,
Dan I'm Quinn, very, Kellen I mean, Hall. I'm excited about Q. I'm excited about Kellen. Neville, a.k.a. Neville Longbottom. And, you know, I have mixed feelings about Mike. He's not my favorite, but I guess he did take us to playoffs. So, I don't know. We'll see. I'm going to give you another chance because your first year was terrible, you know, pandemic 2020, Dak broke his ankle game 4. So, you know, this was your first actual fair chance. And I'm going to have a little bit more faith.
When the news came out that we were keeping all three of them, yeah. I saw on some sports talk shows that they were like, well, you know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing. Just because you have the same people doesn't mean those people are going to do the same thing over and over again.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now, you'd have to be blind as a fucking bat to not realize the need for increased accountability and discipline on that team.
Oh,
right?
I mean, they better.
And so when it comes to the they coaches telling that. Jerry Jones, like, oh, there are certain things we're going to work on in the offseason, I'm wondering if that team culture is one of those things. And what I'm hoping is that maybe Mike McCarthy has learned some lessons from dealing with the team for a couple seasons now. And now he's like, okay, this is how we're going to do things. So I don't automatically think that things will be the same, but I'm hoping that Mike McCarthy will look at what he didn't do well in terms of clock management and game management, and also what didn't go well in terms of team culture. I'm hoping that Kellen Moore will take a long, hard look at things that didn't go well and situations that the team should have been prepared for, but weren't. I'm hoping that they really fucking learn to use CeeDee Lamb a lot better, because mm-hmm. like his talent is just being like wasted.
Yep. I agree. I don't know. I do hope that Mike looks back and be like, you know what? Maybe I shouldn't have blame other people for our losses, you know?
Yeah.
And that's a big thing. Like, that is a big thing for me. Like, own your fucking shit, bro. That's it.
I'm hoping Dak does the same thing.
Me, oh, yes, yes. But I would assume if Mike brings that quote-unquote culture into the team, that it will probably rub off, I guess. Or, you know, like, maybe they will take some from it, too.
Yeah, but Dak's got to be, like, a steward of that culture, you know?
Yeah, yeah, true. True.
Because it's not impossible for a QB and a coach to, like, not see eye to eye and occasionally bump heads.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Dak's got to be on board. So he's got to be willing to hold himself and others accountable, too.
Yeah.
Because we've already seen how much other players on that team respect him. Hopefully right. they still do. You know, it didn't go unnoticed that there were, like, no interviews of CD after that last playoff game. We haven't heard from him.
I know. I haven't even, he hasn't even come up on my feed at all.
He never did post very much, which is one thing that frustrates me. Like, all my biggest, like, pro sports crushes, they don't post a lot. D-Book, CD, Alvin Kamara, none of them, like, really post a lot.
Want to talk about Alvin Kamara?
I haven't even had time to look at those headlines. I've just been seeing the notifications come up on my phone, so I don't even know the details. But I can look it up so we can talk about it.
We'll do some research and then let's see how that how it unfolds, and then we'll.
Yeah, we might need to wait until the next episode for some things to come out, because I really don't want to say the wrong thing. Like,
no, me neither. Me neither, because I heard some shit. Like, I haven't looked into it, but I was surprised. I'm not gonna lie. But anyways, whenever we do some more research on it, we will.
All this is he got in a fight with somebody in Vegas, right?
Yeah, but they've been the shit out of.
Is there a video?
I know, but for what I hear,
did that person deserve it?
I don't know. It was at the Pro Bowl though. Like,
but it wasn't another player though. It was like some guy.
Yeah, it was a fan, for what I hear. Yeah,
a fan of who?
I don't know.
Okay. Definitely need,
because there's no like Willie team, so I don't know. Like, he was a person that was watching, a spectator, I guess. That's what I hear.
Definitely need to do some research and figure out the details of this.
But I'm assuming, after seeing the videos with him and her, are they married?
Who? Taya?
Uh-huh.
I didn't think so.
Well, anyways, but she posts a lot of. Do you follow her?
Mm-hmm.
They post a lot. She posts a lot of videos, and they're so fucking cute and adorable. And it's really hard for me to see him as a fucking, you know, beating the shit out of someone else without deserving it, even a little bit.
Same. That much I can say. I haven't been on social media like probably for a couple weeks as much as I used to.
No.
So I haven't seen a lot of recent stuff. But from what I have seen of them and of him, I agree. It's hard to imagine him beating the shit out of somebody, but. I mean, you and I both date men, and one thing that we know is that they're different with us than they are with other dudes, and especially other dudes who like they have, you know, an argument with.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm like,
gets heated.
I'm not gonna assume just because like they're cute together that Alvin Kamara is incapable of beating the shit out of some guy.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm sure he's capable of it. I just, you know, like I wanna do some research and you know the reasoning behind it.
That's fair. But yeah, when it comes to the Cowboys, you know, I would like to hear more from CD, just in general. But I also would like to hear about this because I guess I'm just curious about his perspective. But then again, even if we did hear his perspective, like, would it be honest? Like, even if he did feel a way like he, you know, wasn't being used enough, would he even have the freedom to say that, to, like, express it?
Yeah.
You know?
That's so, a whole another... You know, this is a time that you really need to, like, get close with them so you can get the tea.
The and how am I supposed to do that? You got a plan? I mean, I wouldn't mind. Even from my personal knowledge, it doesn't even have to go on the podcast. It just be like, you know.
Well, yeah, I want the tea for myself, too. Dang.
Be like, can we talk? I'm habit coach certified. Like, you know, I'm not a mindset coach, but I've been seeing one for several years. Yeah. Let's just have a conversation.
And then,
just want to know where your head is at.
Yeah. And then text me the tea.
That if he gave me permission, I would. Like, yeah. If I was like, can I tell my best friend about this conversation? And he's like, sure.
Come on.
I would.
Yeah.
But only if he said it was okay.
All right. That's fair.
So yeah, if you come up with a plan.
I'm already thinking about it. as soon as I said it, I'm like,
what plan could you possibly have? Like, do you know where he's gonna be? Is he gonna be bowling with Micah in Plano?
Hey, you know, we might just have to take a trip to Plano sometime on bowling day.
Bowling day. I don't even know. See, this is why I'm the strategist, or maybe not, because apparently she's put together more of a plan than I have, because I'm just like, I'm like, this man has been like 4 hours down the road all season. I have not figured out a way to quote unquote get close to seating Lamb so we can talk about how he feels about his team. So I'm like, I don't know. Oh my God.
We're gonna figure it out. What Chipotle he goes to?
Which what?
Chipotle. We're gonna get the steel limbo.
It's Chipotle he goes to. Oh my goodness!
Maybe we'll figure it out whenever he does another delivery thing, and then you know, catch him.
Catch him!
I'm not that fast.
That sounds like something involving a felony charge. We can catch him.
But you're cute. We're going to have to catch him. He's just going to be like hey,
Looney Tunes. I'm going to be like the coyote.
Well, you know. It would be funny, though.
It's gonna be like I was out delivering Chipotle, and at the end of the road, I saw this big wire cage with a stick propping it up. It was this woman sitting inside.
Screaming, I'm gonna catch you!
Gotta catch them all.
Gotta catch them all. Starting with CD.
I'm cool, just catching that one. All right. Is this going to be another episode we can't put out?
I hope not.
We really got to stop drinking when we record these.
Yeah, I mean,
totally. I don't even remember what we were talking about. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't
matter. Cowboys. Cool. All right, moving on. Okay, so... Liz Cambage and Becky Hammon. That was an interesting story that came out. It didn't really get a lot of attention, though, where basically Liz Cambage expressed some displeasure at the fact that Becky Hammon is going to be the first WNBA coach to get a salary of over $1 million. So I'm going to find the tweet that Liz Cambage put out. She said, ah, yes, the WNBA, where a head coach can get paid 4 times the highest paid player's Supermax contract, LMAO, and y'all think I'm going to spend another season upgrading my seat on a flight to get to games out of my own pocket.
Wow.
And there were some people who were saying that she was I guess, you know, tearing another woman down. But I don't see it that way.
Me neither. Not when it comes to business like that.
Yeah, not when it comes to business like that.
Yeah.
Like, I could see if she just had a problem with Becky Hammon getting the job in the first place. Or if what she said wasn't true. Because what she's saying is true. Is like, yeah, as a coach, she's getting paid four times,
yeah,
you know, the highest paid player's Supermax contract. And yeah, meanwhile, these players have to come out of their pocket for, you know, to upgrade their own game.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that makes no sense. I agree.
I know.
And I don't think that you have to put up with bullshit just because another woman is involved. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. I don't think this one is like actually about like tearing women down.
Yeah, no. I think it's about her wanting to see the standard raised for other WNBA players. Yeah. So in other words, you can look at it as she is putting the needs of other women who are in her position over this one particular woman.
I agree.
When that tweet came out, it didn't really make a lot of noise, and it still really isn't. Almost nothing that happens in the WNBA makes a lot of noise, you know. But the conversation surrounding it has been reopened because supposedly Liz Cambage has verbally committed to the LA Sparks. So so she's a free agent. And her tweet kind of suggested that she wasn't going to come back to the WNBA at all. But now she is verbally committed to the LA Sparks.
Okay.
I don't know. Who knows? They might have, like, offered some perks, like some upgraded flights, maybe some better accommodations.
Maybe some,
you know, some things to supplement that the salary that a lot of people are saying isn't high enough. So
this is really unfair that they get paid that amount of money for the work that they put in.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, and we've talked about this before, every professional sports league, when they've only been in existence for a few decades, they're kind of at that point.
Yeah.
When the NBA had only been around for like 30 years or so, you know, a lot of those players had to have second jobs and whatnot. So it's as long as they stay on the trajectory that they're on and things keep increasing in terms of their fan base, their revenue, by the time they've been around for 60, 80 years or so, things will be a lot different.
Yeah, yeah. That's
like, you know, sports is an entertainment product. Getting a sports organization to that point is not easy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
For sure,
so
for sure.
While I don't like it, I understand it. I like that for the most part, people are making decisions to move things in the right direction. But in the meantime, situations like this, paying a coach that much, I honestly don't understand it.
Yeah.
In an article written for Just Women Sports by Emma Ruby, it was reported that, and I quote, while the statement was met with some backlash, Aces owner Mark Davis said he agrees 100% with Cambage's stance on player salaries. Liz Cambage kind of came out with a statement, and I agree 100% with what she says, Davis said, that the players do deserve more money, that they don't need to be flying on commercial flights. So, I mean, he said that, and I'm not really sure if he's going to do something about it.
Are you going to donate? What's happening?
Right, because I'm just like, you also made the decision to pay Becky Hammon all this money. So it's like, yet at the same time, you agree 100% with the player who doesn't agree.
Right.
So that statement was a little bit confusing, but he followed up with this. He said, Becky Hammon spent 15 years in the WNBA, or actually, no, this is a statement made by ESPN's Holly Rowe. And she is one of the people who felt like Liz Cambage's statement was attacking another woman.
Okay.
But she said, Becky Hammon spent 15 years in the WNBA as an undrafted player, made her way, became one of the greatest of all time, Rowe said during Tuesday's WNBA free agency show on ESPN. Becky Hammon earned every penny she's about to get paid because of her lifetime work in the WNBA. And players like Liz Cambage got paid more because of some of the work Becky Hammon did. So let's celebrate a woman getting a $1 million contract in the league instead of women tearing each other down.
Mm. I mean, I agree with everything besides the last part.
Same. And like, if that's the reason why she's getting paid so much, then let's make that clear.
Right.
Because
exactly.
What it looks like is she's getting paid so much because she's a woman who coached in the NBA for a while.
Right.
And now that she's coming back to the WNBA, they value her more because she spent time coaching dudes. That's what it looks like. Which to me is worse than what Liz Cambage said.
Yes.
Because you're basically saying, like, well, all these other women coaches haven't coached men, so they're not as valuable. So if you really think it's like back pay for work that she did before, let's make that a little bit more clear. Because otherwise you're basically saying experience coaching dudes is more valuable than experience coaching women.
Yeah.
And definitely not here for that.
Nope. That's no.
But something Davis did follow up his statement with, he said, I agree with all of those things, referring to what Liz Cambage said. And those are things that the Las Vegas Aces are going to be champions of, and that we're going to grow for the good of everybody in this league. Davis said that while Hammond didn't want to be a $1 million coach, he had other plans meant to help spark conversation about investing in women's sports. I wanted her to be a $1 million coach, he said, because I thought she would be, in a sense. When the American Football League started, they had a television contract and they had Joe Namath. And Joe Namath had the $400,000 contract. And he sparked the imagination of everybody that, quote unquote, this league is real. I felt that giving Becky Hammon the $1 million contract would then show everybody that there is value here. And I'm just like, okay, well, why not give that to a player?
I feel like these people are contradicting themselves.
Aces star Asia Wilson later took to Twitter to say that Davis was talking that talk in the press conference. And I don't even know what that means. Does that mean you agree with him or you don't? Maybe she phrased it that way on purpose, but I'm just like, what are you really saying here, Asia? Also sounds like something I would do if I didn't want to publicly state if I were supporting somebody.
She said what she said.
Yeah, I'd be like, he up there talking, y'all.
You'll need here. You'll need to go back and listen to it.
Don't hear what he said? Yeah, what do you think of it? Man, he was saying some stuff. Listen to him. You hear him? Listen to him. But what do you think about what he said? Listen.
Yeah. Maybe she didn't hear it. You know? And she was asked about it. She was like, well, you know,
somebody he was talking about something about what he said. What? Yeah. That was a press conference. Hold on, let me find a gift.
Oh man.
So as usual, I support Liz Cambage's decision. You know, to switch teams. I don't think she should back down from what she said, especially if that's what she feels. And if all these people agree with her, then here's our opportunity to prove it.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like, I mean, and like we say all the time, like, do whatever is best for you. And like, whatever makes you happier, you know, or happy. And if that's how you feel, like, yeah, by any means, say however you feel. Like, and I don't think that she was bashing on the coach. I don't think so.
No.
I think she was just making a very clear statement that she's been under a lot of players in the WNBA are being underpaid. That's the whole statement that she was making.
Right. And I don't even think that she was saying that Becky Hammon shouldn't get the money that she's getting. Right. I think she was more so saying that players should be getting more money and players should be getting more benefits.
Exactly. She wasn't bushing on her. She was
like saying, like, okay, if you can pay coaches much, clearly y'all got it.
Right, somewhere. Exactly. Right, you know?
Because, like, even if the salaries don't increase, like, yes, things like travel accommodations, lodging accommodations can be improved, so improve them.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I don't think that's too much to ask at all.
I don't think so either with the work that they put in now.
So we'll be following that as the WNBA season
we'll see the begins. Team. Yes. We'll talk that talk, y'all.
Yeah. Oh, we're going to be talking. Listen. All right. So we got a couple of more serious topics to get into. First, let's dive into the topic of Leah Thomas. So Leah Thomas is a transgender swimmer, trans woman, at the University of Pennsylvania, and she is breaking collegiate women's swim records, beating the nearest competitors with unprecedented times. And a lot of people take issue with this because she took off last year, but before that, she was competing against men's swimmers and wasn't ranked very highly at all, like in the 400-something, I think is what I heard. So in the last episode we did together, we talked about all the good things that could come from the NCAA adjusting their policy related to trans athletes. Mm-hmm. And this is a situation that's really creating problems related to all of that, largely due to the way that it's being handled.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm just going to read through this article. This is an article written by Valerie Hudson for Deseret.com. And it says, the reckoning almost came last year when Laurel Hubbard, a transgender powerlifter from New Zealand, competed in the Summer Olympics, but Hubbard failed the lift, and so the proverbial can was kicked down the road. In retrospect, it was good that there was a pause between Hubbard and Thomas. It's given sports associations and authorities time to think again about the fairness of including trans athletes in women's competitions. So she goes on to say, and talking about the situation with Leah Thomas specifically, Thomas had competed for 3 years on UPenn's men's swim team as recently as November 2019, when the swimmer's performance was modest. After announcing a gender transition, Thomas joined the women's swim team and has been smashing records ever since. Thomas ranked number 462 as a male swimmer, but now ranks number one as a female swimmer. At first, Thomas's teammates were silent, which suggested that they did not see an issue of fairness. But then it was revealed in a formal letter to UPenn from 16 unidentified teammates that, quote, we have been told that if we spoke out against our inclusion into women's competitions, that we would be removed from the team or that we would never get a job offer. When media have tried to reach out to us, these journalists have been told that the coaches and athletes were prohibited from talking to them, end quote. The teammates actually were not all right with what was happening, but were bullied into silence by UPenn. These teammates, who should have been protected by Title IX, were reduced to the status of what one writer called third-class citizens. The letter to UPenn from Thomas's teammate speaks volumes. Quote, we have dedicated our lives to swimming. Most of us started the same time Leah did, as preteens. We have trained up to 20 hours a week, swimming miles, running and lifting weights. To be sidelined or beaten by someone competing with the strength, height, and lung capacity advantages that can only come with male puberty has been exceedingly difficult, end quote. Many high-profile stakeholders echoed the sentiment, including the head coach of the swim team at Rice University, Seth Huston, who concluded, I just feel like we're bowing to, in this particular instance, to one person, and really to the detriment of thousands of other athletes potentially, and I don't think that's right. There are other issues with Thomas's inclusion on the women's team that should not go unremarked. Teammates have felt uncomfortable viewing Thomas undressed in the locker room, especially as Thomas has maintained an attraction to women. While this is only tangential to the issue of fairness in competition, it is nevertheless a very real issue for the 25% of women who have been sexually abused in their youth by males.
Thank you.
It's also an issue for women who come from religious or secular backgrounds where such a situation is considered immoral or simply unwanted. So I don't necessarily agree with them bringing up that last
point
because
that makes no sense. Like, there's no other like gay people in the team.
Yeah.
I'm so like, what is an issue now?
Yeah.
Why do you have to bring it up on her?
You would say that specifically an issue against her is if you think it's cool for like cisgender women to be sexual aggressors, but the thought of a trans woman or a man being a sexual aggressor is like an issue. So the article concludes, there are some experts who believe the new policy does not go far enough. The new lower allowable level of circulating testosterone is at least twice that of the high end of typical females. Female swimmers could actually dope themselves to reach a new level and not be in violation of the policy. And the physical development review could be a point of potential mischief. And what that's referring to is a section of the new policy that says, From a medical perspective, the prior physical development of the athlete as a male, as mitigated by any medical intervention, does not give the athlete a competitive advantage over the athlete's cisgender female competitors. So they're saying that has to be proven. And the new rule is saying that, free testosterone has to be suppressed to no more than 5 nanomoles per liter for a total time period of 36 months.
That is so intrusive and invasive of a personal, like, I don't know.
I mean, it is, but if they did it to everybody, I wouldn't have an issue.
Yes, exactly. either for everybody or for nobody.
But. So one of the last statements this made, this article says, is what this entire episode suggests is that sex and gender identity are not the same thing, and that when the issue is one of bodies and physical competition, bodies and physical privacy, bodies in vulnerable physical spaces such as prison, sex may be more important to consider than gender identity. Now, the interesting thing about that part to me was the fact that I took a human sexuality course in college. And one of the things we actually learned was that sex and gender identity were not the same thing. And I'm just like, yes. Does the rest of the world not know that? Like, does everybody need to be taking this course? Like, is this news to other people?
It is. It is.
And so I want to clarify something, because I feel like there are going to be some people who are listening who are like, well, I thought you were in support of trans women being able to compete. So to clarify, I am in support of all people being able to compete in sports. But one of the things I have repeatedly said is that maybe gender is not the best way to classify athletes. And this right here is like a prime example of why that is. Mm-hmm. When it first came out that the NCAA was changing their policies, I was hoping it would lead to a conversation about whether or not it was the best way to classify athletes. But this situation has come up before, I guess, that thought has had time to percolate among decision makers.
Yeah.
And so now people are spending all their time arguing over whether or not trans women are women, when that is not the issue. The issue is that trans people are being treated differently than other people, because it's like, and here's something I haven't found. I'm like, did Leah say she wanted to compete with women? Or after she came out, did they say, if you want to compete in swimming, you have to compete with the women? Because I think that's also significant.
That is.
Because there are some people who are like, oh, she's competing with women now because she couldn't cut it with men. We don't even know.
Yeah.
If that's.
But I don't think she would want to compete with men at that point.
Yeah. I don't know.
No, me neither. I don't know. I don't know. I feel like the locker room and everything would be very uncomfortable for her.
Could be.
After coming out.
But my thing is, the article said, well, this is another thing. I guess I am kind of switching topics here. The article said that based on the letter from the 16 teammates,
mm-hmm.
they were like, this person has, a height advantage, a lung capacity advantage, more testosterone, yada, 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 mm-hmm. And you could go even further to talk about muscle development and all that stuff, or just even the level of training that goes into competing against men and trying to do better. Right.
Right.
So I'm just like, if those are the difference makers, classify athletes based on that, and I don't understand why that's such a hard conclusion to come to. I'm like, is the supposed difference between genders, is that so ingrained in our society that we can't even make a beneficial decision for athletes?
Oh yeah.
Because I'm like, every time this topic comes up, people are like, oh, well, they have more testosterone, they're bigger. And I'm like, okay, so is the issue that they're trans, or is the issue that they're bigger?
Right.
Because I compete with and against some cisgender women who are way bigger than me.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Way more, have more muscle mass, who have better endurance.
Me too.
So I'm just like, are you saying I shouldn't be competing with them? Like, what is the issue?
Yeah.
And like, let's address that.
Yeah.
So if you're saying size, weight, lung capacity, hormones are the issue. Okay, create a rubric, classify athletes based on that.
Right, exactly.
To me, it sounds
everybody.
So simple.
Yeah.
And I guess I feel like the only thing that would keep that from being simple is if you're so obsessed with the idea that all women should compete with all other women and men should compete with men, and that there should be no area where, hey, there are some people who are biologically male and female, and they will compete against each other because these markers are close enough in range.
Right. I don't know. I'm with you on that. Like, if you cannot classify by gender, which you shouldn't anyways, test everybody's lung capacity.
Yeah.
And then put in testosterone and then put them into categories. If you are in between those numbers, you're going to compete with these people. If you're with these numbers, you're going to compete with these people.
Period. And that way we don't have to worry about eliminating trans people from competition just because they're trans and they don't fit in your boxes.
Yeah. Just because you think, or you've been told that this is how it's supposed to be. That's not exactly how it is.
And I feel like if we did that, we wouldn't even have to have this conversation.
Yes, yeah. I agree. I agree.
Because it's whether or not, you know, I guess I feel like some people, they were kind of waiting for something like this to happen. You know, they were waiting to see that guy who, quote unquote, couldn't cut it, was ranked low among male athletes.
Yeah.
And to go to the women's side and perform well and be like, see, we told you.
Yeah.
You
but know? What about all the other ones, though?
Yeah.
You know, you have one example. What about all the other?
That's
hundreds?
A good question. Is, what about is the Lee other Thomas hundreds? Like the only NCAA trans woman swimmer?
You know,
like are we?
And really, how far? How much faster was she than the second one? Was it like a millisecond?
Well, they said unprecedented times, so that makes it sound like it was a like a huge amount.
I don't know what but
yeah, I'll tell you what I don't like about this situation. I don't like the fact that the teammates who had an issue with it are silenced.
Yeah,
because I feel like if you feel like you've made the right decision here, then you should be able to answer their questions right. And address their concerns.
Right.
Like the answer to this is not to silence other women. Right. The answer to this is especially women who actually play the sport.
Right.
You know, we're not talking about,
you have to be uncomfortable and have this conversation.
Right. So it's like, if you really feel like this is the right decision, like talk to these teammates who have an issue and let's get on the same page about it.
Yeah.
And who knows, maybe one of them had the same exact idea that you and I are talking about now, but because they were so focused on, oh, we can't have any dissent here, nobody can even bring up the idea that maybe things should be done differently.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. Yeah. I just have the conversation. If you're going to do this and you have people questioning it, then let them speak. Listen to them. Listen what they have to say. Maybe, like you said, maybe they're going to have another idea that you didn't even think of, you
right? Because we're not talking about some ignorant assholes on Twitter,
right?
Just
right,
shit
right.
They're transphobic. Right. We're talking about women who actually play the sport and they have something to say.
Exactly.
The same way I want people to listen to me when I talk about derby, and I'm like, "Yo, I don't think trans skaters in derby is an issue."
Right.
And I don't want to be silenced. I don't think it's right to silence those swimmers, but I really just kind of wish we would kind of get past the whole gender thing.
I'm
kind of over it.
And gender is such a big spectrum. And I just don't understand how people don't understand that. It's
apparently,
hard for me.
You didn't go to the same course I did, clearly. So I don't know how we have learned this and other people haven't. When I learned it in that course, I was just like, oh, this must be something that everybody knows because we should all be on the same page about what exactly gender is, right? No.
Mm-mm.
So anyway, there's that. Do you have anything to add to that?
No. I hope they do listen and they fix the mess that they themselves made.
Yeah, because handling it this way is only going to make things worse. Because right now, all the people who are against trans people participating in sports, you're just feeding them everything that they need to keep speaking out against the situation.
Yeah.
So it's we need to stop treating trans women different than trans men. Two, we need to stop treating trans athletes different from other athletes. If we got to test people's hormone levels, test everybody's fucking hormone levels.
I was just going to say, what if they were to test the man's swimming team lung capacity and it happens that half the team, their lung capacity is bigger than hers? How are you going to, fight that? How are you going to, what I mean?
Right. But it's like lung capacity is something that probably has been tested in some way, shape or form, And so I think
thing is endurance. One thing is lung capacity.
Yeah. And there are ways to test lung capacity or at least get an idea of it. Like John's a rower, and he talks about his VO2 max and shit. Oh. So that is shit that can be
maybe
tested. I don't know if it's been taken into consideration. That's the thing.
Yeah.
These swimmers, clearly this is something that they probably think about more regularly than we do. They cited it as an issue. And I don't know if they actually know her specific lung capacity or if they're making an assumption. But what they mentioned about height, of course, they're going to mention height because that's something that they apparently know to be an advantage in their sport. Mm. And the hormonal thing, that's been up for a debate for a while. But all I'm saying is whether testosterone itself is actually a determining factor or not, because yes, there have been, you know, studies that say like there are other factors that contribute to athletic performance that can negate the effects of testosterone in and of itself, right? But I'm saying if that's going to be your thing, if right. you're going to say that like, oh, well, this athlete has too much testosterone to compete with women, then test all
everybody
women.
Else. Yeah.
And better yet, test all men. Test yes. everybody.
Yes.
Because if you think it comes down to testosterone, then classify athletes based on testosterone.
Uh-huh.
If you think it's a combination of testosterone and height and body fat percentage, classify athletes based on all three. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. We just want to include everybody.
Yeah, but doing it this way and like you're basically painting a picture that, you know, nobody's allowed to question the system. Nobody's allowed to speak against this one person participating. People aren't allowed to have questions. And that is only going to create problems.
Right.
It's going to create bitterness and hostility.
Animosity, yeah.
That's not what we want. We want inclusivity and we want a space where everybody can compete. We do not want the competition to be tainted by all these questions and people being silenced,
yep,
et cetera, et cetera. Fairness.
Fairness. That is the word. Fairness.
Yeah. It is a word. So speaking of fairness, Brian Flores and this lawsuit against the NFL. So Brian Flores filed a class action lawsuit against the NFL claiming racial discrimination in the hiring and firing process for NFL coaches. So during this offseason, there has been a lot said about the fact that, well, before this hiring period, there was only one Black head coach in the NFL. And now I believe two have been hired. One gentleman who identifies as biracial was hired to coach the Dolphins. So Mike McDaniel was hired basically to replace Flores. And the Houston Texans have hired Lovie Smith. And because of time, I'm not going to get into like the fairness or the likelihood of success. But what I will say about the situation with the NFL, like seriously, I'm hot. I got on a beanie and a jacket and it's not that cold anymore. and I've been drinking. But what I will say is that I feel like the issue with the NFL is similar to the issue with trans athletes. In the sense that they're focused on the wrong fucking thing.
Yes. That's a good transition. Yeah. Nice segue.
So it's like people were talking about the Rooney Rule. Are you familiar with the Rooney Rule? I don't know if we've talked about it. So basically the Rooney Rule was this rule saying that NFL team owners had to interview at least one minority candidate for their head coach positions. Had to interview at least one. Now,
hold on. So they're not interviewing them because they think they're skilled enough to coach the team. It's just because they're a minority. Is that what you just said?
That's basically what it turned into. And so basically the number of Black head coaches since this rule was instituted has actually gone down.
Wow.
But see, here's my thing. Here's why I say they're focused on the wrong thing. Because people are like, oh, there should be more Black head coaches in the NFL. And, yes. You know, the Rooney Rule didn't work. And people have proposed things like, you know, maybe we should reward teams with draft picks, like extra draft picks.
What?
They hire somebody Black. And I even heard somebody say they should penalize teams for not having a diverse enough staff. And I'm just like, y'all, the first thing we need is transparency.
That's not the point.
Because
y'all are missing the point.
Because we don't even know what's going into these decisions. We're talking about a job that there are literally only 32 of them available in the world.
In the world.
And we can look at the people who have been hired and be like, this is 32 white dudes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we can say, it's unfortunate that there are no Black people in these positions, or there was only one. But at the end of the day, if we don't actually know why that's the case, then what are all these quotas and shit supposed to do about it?
Right.
So
right. How's that going to help?
So here, I'll give you an example, right? So I'll have people come to me because I'm a trainer and they'll be like, man, I'm trying to lose weight and I'm having trouble losing weight. And I'll be like, well, okay, how much do you weigh? You know, is your weight going up or is it staying the same? Okay. How many calories are you eating per day? And that's usually the question they don't know.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, to lose weight, you have to be in a caloric deficit. And they'll usually say something like, well, I'm eating very healthy.
That's no.
Well, what do you mean by healthy? Because here's one thing some people mean by healthy. They mean organic. Organic calories are still calories. Sometimes they mean they're eating lots of fruits and vegetables. Apples, oranges, carrots, beets, all that shit has a lot of carbs and sugars.
That means it has a lot of sugar.
Fruits and vegetables still have calories. Mm-hmm. I have one client who, it took months, but I finally convinced her to start tracking. She wasn't eating enough. She was eating so little, her metabolism
wasn't running.
Right. Yeah. So, like, her body was just holding on to fat because it was like, if we don't, this human body is going to die because she's not eating enough.
Right. Oh.
So it's like they were trying to solve a problem by making a lot of assumptions about what the problem was. It's like, oh, I'm eating a lot of fried foods. So if I sub out French fries for this other thing, then it'll fix it. And it's like, but you don't have an accurate understanding of the problem. And so that's my thing with Black coaches not being hired in the NFL, because, and this is something else that came up in the conversation with my mindset coach, When we talk about race, one thing that we're also talking about is culture, right? So you're talking about 32 teams. These are millionaires. At the end of the day, they're going to hire people that they're comfortable with, right? The qualifications of a coach might be an acceptable loss when it comes to somebody who makes them more comfortable, right? And I'm not saying that's okay.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is that is a very different situation than I don't like Black people, right?
Yeah.
And the truth is right now, we don't know which one it is. Because when they say, oh, these people don't interview well, is it that they aren't expressing themselves in a way that you understand?
Yeah.
Or what if it's not even them? What if it's that they're looking at the other people who are on their staff, the other coordinators, the other assistant coaches, and being like, I don't know how they would respond to a Black head coach, right? Or even look at us, right? Violet Crown. Let's say we got to a point we needed to hire a coach, right?
Okay.
Let's say some guy comes in, all the qualifications, ain't no strength and conditioning. Maybe they used to be a coach for, like, you know, Portland, Victoria, somebody. Uh-huh. So they got a winning record. And we're like, yes, you know. But then he says some shit like, he's anti-vax.
Oof.
I don't believe in equal pay. You know, men should be breadwinners or some shit like that.
That's over for me.
Exactly. Shit has nothing to do with coaching, right?
No.
But his values are different.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So if somebody was just like, y'all need to interview at least one male candidate for this position, we could do it just to get those people off our ass.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, there are things at play that they haven't even considered. And it's more like, well, if you find me a man who checks all these other boxes, like, we don't care how much this dude can help us win, because we're not going to get along with him. So it's not going to work out. We don't even, regardless of how much he knows about the game, we don't think he can help us win, because at the end of the day, he's not going to mesh well with the rest of the organization. So how well could that possibly work out? You know?
Yeah.
And so it's like, there are just so many factors that go into choosing somebody to be a part of your team. It could even be they're scared of him, right? Anytime there's a police shooting where they shoot an unarmed Black man, what always comes out? Oh, the cop was scared for their lives, right?
They're always scared for their lives.
And so, I mean, what it suggests, though, is that among certain people, uh-huh, there might be an innate fear of Black men, especially Black men who have the stature of somebody who is a former player, yes, like a lot of these candidates for head coach are. And so I haven't heard any of this. I'm just throwing out shit.
Yeah, it's spitballing.
Right. And so, but my whole point is, just off the top of my head, I'm able to think of those scenarios. And so I'm just like, any one of those things could be true. But why don't we know? Because there's no transparency. Nobody is saying, like, okay, you interviewed this coach, you interviewed this minority candidate, what happened?
Yeah.
And you got to tell me more than they just didn't interview well.
Yeah.
And even that is if the NFL wants to still claim that they care about diversity and inclusion. Now, on the flip side, the NFL could also come out and be like, you know what? Honestly, we don't give a fuck. We got millions of dollars and we're going to hire who we want. And if it happens to be all white people, so be it.
Yeah. I don't know, because I'm the same. Like, those people, most of those people have played at some point in their life in the NFL, right? Mm-hmm. So they know the culture.
Or not in the NFL at some level.
Or at some
like
level.
Some of them were like college players who then went on to coach some in some other capacity in the NFL, like as coordinators.
But they know the culture of a team. They know the culture of football in general. So the fact that, like, for me, that would rule out the non being part of the culture and not understanding the culture. No?
Mm.
You don't think so?
Because it's just like knowing the culture among most people in a given sport, in a given organization, is very different than knowing certain people personally. And it's very different than knowing it to a point to where you can use that knowledge during an interview, or even being willing to change who you are during an interview, or even knowing what you have to change about yourself. Because, like, for example,
but every single one of them, though,
mm-hmm.
every single one of them, though, every single black coach that they interview, none of them are good enough, or they don't interview well. All of them.
That's what it seems like. I actually don't know exactly how many have been interviewed. I'm assuming all these teams had to interview at least one,
I guess. Yeah.
But you see all these questions that we have. We don't know, you know. Yeah. And it's like, and then it's like some people are like, well, consumers need to put pressure on the owners. And I'm like, put pressure how?
What are we supposed to do?
Because here's my thing. It's like, if we were to say we're gonna boycott the NFL, that's not gonna hurt the owners. That's gonna hurt the players.
True.
Mm-hmm. Because the owners are gonna get their money.
Oh yeah.
So and it wouldn't even happen in the short term. All that would happen is in the long run, mm-hmm. if somehow a scenario was created where NFL teams were making less money, what that would lead to would be lower salary and less benefits for the players, because the owners are going to make their money. There is always going to be some segment of the athletic population who is willing to go and play professional football, even if the pay decreases somewhat, because they're going to look at even a portion of what is offered now as better than what they might anticipate making if they were to go into traditional job market. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so it's like, owners are like, yeah, we're going to get our money. We will sell this fucking team first. We will go over to Africa, the UK, wherever the fuck, like.
We're going to make the money anyways.
right.
I don't know.
And so really the only reason we even have half of a right to even know what's going on here is because of the fact that the NFL claims to be, you know, an inclusive organization and want to work toward diversity. And they didn't even make that claim, then wouldn't be shit we could say at all.
I know. Do you think that because they put that new rule that they have to interview minorities, at least one or whatever, it sort of gave them a way out of not having people of color in coaching? So, oh, they didn't interview well, so. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, I think
like it gave,
I think
them, like,
it gave
a reason,
them a way to say that they were doing their part, even if they're not really doing their part.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's like a cap-out, right? It's just like, yeah. Oh, we're going to put this rule, so we, you know, washing your hands. Like, Poncio Pilatos, I don't know how to say that in English. But
what was it?
Poncio Pilatos is in the Bible.
Poncio.
Is the guy that watches his name when, like, we're gonna kill Jesus. He's like, I don't know.
Oh, wait, say it again.
Poncio Pilato?
Yeah, Pontius Pilate.
Yes, that one. Anyways, you know, coming from my Catholic country. Anywho. but yeah, it's just like the way of being like, you know, we put this rule out and then y'all do whatever. You know what I mean? So it's just like giving them also like a cap out of like, we're not going to hire anybody.
Well, that's why that rule doesn't
make any
sense.
It's supposed to be
sense.
Helpful, but it's also a way out for like not hiring them. Like, oh, well, they don't interview well. Oh, well, they don't.
The next step needs to be transparency.
Oh, I agree.
The same
way
I need all my clients to be willing to track their calories for me to be able to help them. This has come up a lot recently. There's a lot of people out there who started off on their New Year's resolution and like, I'm gonna lose this weight. And then they just got on some stupid ass challenge or program that makes no sense. And we're over here in our Facebook group, like, just track your calories and weigh yourself. And everybody's like, no, I'm gonna do this complicated ass thing where I try to cut out all sugar. What? That doesn't even make sense. I'm sorry. I'm so frustrated. But anyway, now it's February and people are realizing that shit didn't work and they're getting frustrated. And we're like, we've been telling y'all the secret this whole time. Like, whole it hasn't changed.
And it actually is not a secret.
But anyway, not a secret. But anyway, the same way I need for my clients to track their calories in order for me to help them, we need to track what's happening in these interviews if we want any sense of what to fix.
Right.
Because we can be like, you have to interview minority candidates. But it's like, if they've already made up in their mind that for whatever reason they don't want a minority candidate, then all they have to do is interview these people and meet their quota and move on.
Yeah.
You know, and then once you start saying like, oh, well, you get a draft pick if you do, or you get fined if you don't. So now you are putting everybody who's a person of color in one of these positions, you are putting them into question and actually making it easier for them to be dismissed from their position. Because it'll be so easy for a team to be like, well, we're firing this person, even though they had a winning season. But, you know, here are the problems we had and we only hired them so we wouldn't get fined. I remember going to Vanderbilt and having people literally question if I got in because of affirmative action. They didn't even know me. But it was just like an assumption that was made about a lot of Black people, yeah. You know.
That's fucked up.
And it was like...
That's just so
don't even know me. And if it was, I don't think that's something that they tell you. I don't think they send you a letter back like, you're not qualified for admittance into our university. However, due to affirmative action and the fact that you're Black, we're going to let you in. Congratulations. Like, no. Like, what the fuck?
Oh, Lord. I don't know. That whole thing is just weird. And like, I think after a few games that I've watch, because this is my first NFL season, that was one of the things that really stood out to me. Like, there is not Black head coaches.
I will tell you what I do have.
And I told you too that before.
The Houston Texans were very close to hiring this guy, last name McCown, I think Josh McCown, who is a high school football coach. Okay. Right. And he's had no professional football coaching experience whatsoever, but they wanted to hire him. And so then he didn't get the job with the Houston Texans because they hired Lovie Smith, supposedly due to pressure from this lawsuit. But my thing is like, okay, if Josh McCown is actually somehow qualified for a head coaching position, you mean to tell me no other NFL team wanted him for a coordinator position, assistant coaching position, nothing, no college wanted him, nothing, right? So that to me says he knew the right people and was about to get a position because of who he knew.
Yeah, probably.
Now, if Josh McCown was Black, would the same opportunity have been offered? We don't know.
Yeah.
But that is something that should offend not only Black candidates, but also white candidates.
Yeah.
Like if he got that job over some white dude because he knew the right person, that's something that they should have a problem with. And so that's something that keeps coming up that is like, oh, there are certain people on the Bill Parcells coaching tree. There are certain people on the Bill Belichick coaching tree who just get jobs because of who they know. And people kind of mention it, but they keep moving. And I'm like, no. That's the thing. Let's start there.
Yeah.
Because if we believe that's true, then that's letting us know that like these decisions are being made based off something other than merit, right? And so if that's an issue, then let's address that issue, because that means it's not just a problem with Black coaches. Black coaches not being hired is just a symptom.
Right.
But
right.
Maybe the actual problem is these cliques, right? And so it's like, if not having enough Black coaches is a symptom of the problem, but the problem is actually something that affects everybody, I'm cool with addressing that too.
Right.
You know, and actually, if that is an issue, you're more likely to get something done.
Yeah.
Because now you have more people
addressing
with some skin in the game.
Yeah, yes. Exactly.
And yes, like you just said, you're actually addressing the problem.
Right.
But it's just like, you can't, I know it's very easy to look at the number of Black coaches and just assume, oh, racism is the problem. But the fact of the matter is, we don't actually know what the problem is. We haven't done the investigation to find out. There's not enough transparency for us to know. And so we can't just keep throwing money at it. Like, we'll offer them some draft picks because that might not solve the problem. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I know. I don't understand why they don't just like, yeah, just be clear.
I really do think that it's because it's being made to look like, oh, they don't want Black coaches. And the owners are like, no, it's not. people who are not minority candidates don't really know what to do or like what to say or like what can be done about it, you know?
Yeah.
Because quiet as it's kept, there are a lot of people in this world who might have thoughts about a situation, but they're not going to do anything about it until they know what to do. I'm not that way about everything. There are certain things that I will hear and I will instantly speak out, but there are a lot of situations that I'm just like,
let me overthink this real
quick. Okay. And you want me to do what?
Right.
You know, like, what exactly do you want me to do about it? And unless you tell me something that I can do that's actually going to make an impact, I'm going to be like, I don't have the bandwidth for this shit.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And so it's like, if it does turn out like, oh, not only are minority candidates already written off before their interviews, but there are a lot of white candidates that are written off before their interviews too.
Yeah.
Then maybe that's something that will make more people interested and we can actually solve the problem instead of misdiagnosing it and and continuously addressing it in the wrong way.
Yeah, maybe so, maybe show us the numbers. How many people did you interview per season?
No, we need to know the reasons why. If we're going to solve this, we need to know the reasons why.
Right. But like, I also feel like maybe they feel, this is just pure speculation, if that's the word.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they feel like if they give out like that information, that maybe like whatever, top secret or whatever, I don't know why it should be or what it would be, but whatever. Maybe like, oh, well, then maybe they want to know this, or maybe like, you know, we have to talk about all this bullshit, which I still don't know why you wouldn't anyways, but maybe they feel like threatened to give away some information.
Well, I mean, if it does turn out that they're like, oh, well, we hire people based on who they know and who we're cool with, even though that's something that a lot of people suspect anyway, I think it would, like, having that confirmed would kind of shatter the image that, like, oh, you know, it's fair competition. You know, anybody has a chance. And it's like, actually, no.
Yeah. Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, maybe we'd pull out some, like, you know, actual quote-unquote conspiracies that are actually true, and they don't want to give that away.
Like, plausible deniability. Right now, they have that. Right now, they have enough deniability to be able to be like, no, people who say that, you know, conspiracy theories, they're just making stuff up, blah, blah, blah. We hire the best man for the job.
Yeah.
You know, they want it to keep looking that way.
Cool story, bro.
You know?
Yeah.
And so, I don't know. But transparency is the answer. Like, that's where we need to start. Not the Rooney Rule.
Tell us the truth.
Not draft picks, not fines. We just, if we want to solve this, like I said, the owners could also just be like, fuck all that, you know.
Yeah, they probably,
we're not working towards diversity and we don't give a fuck. And who knows, they might get back into a corner where some statements like that actually do come out. I don't know what's about. The way the past few years have gone, I don't put nothing past nobody.
Yeah. Like, no. Oh, hell no. You just don't know what the next curveball is going to be.
Right. So, yeah, we'll see. But yes, if people actually are trying to solve this, I do believe that's what they need to be pushing for. They need to be pushing for increased transparency and an understanding of how these decisions are made.
Yep. I agree 100%. Tell us, be clear, man. I don't know why you had to hide shit. What's the problem? Here's the thing. And then you tell one lie and then you have to tell so many other lies to cover the first lie. There's like, just be real, you know.
All right. On that note, I don't even have an outro. Like, we'll see y'all next.
Yeah.
We got to at least say our names. I'm Bitch 2.
Oh, I'm Bitch 1.
And we're out.
Okay, there were some parts that they were a little messy, but there are some good parts though.
The bus is still